Good to have your presence this evening. We just sang about Jesus as King. That is a great challenge. Is Jesus as your King, you're going to find yourself to be led in directions you never imagined you would go. It would be a blessed life, but a challenging life. And that's really what I want to talk about this evening. This is really part two of a lesson that I preached about 3 weeks ago on making faith your own. And we talked about, you know, the beginning point of taking the first steps last time. And tonight I want to talk about what does faith look like. If you want to make your own faith, when I speak of your own faith, I'm speaking of the faith found in Scripture. The one faith that Ephesians 4 talks about. And certainly in one's life, you go from that transition, we talked about this in the last lesson, of simply believing what your parents have taught you, believing about those that you've associated with, to the point where you're studying and standing on your own. That's a beautiful thing, but it is enormously challenging. It is the goal. I mean, as in my life with my children, that's the goal for my children. I want them to be able to see from the Scriptures and stand on the Lord because they see it. It's frightening. It's challenging. But I believe that's exactly what God wants of each of us. What does faith look like? It's a great mistake to view baptism as an end within itself. We've had several baptized recently. It's very exciting to see the gospel being spread, people studying, taking the stand. And baptism is the first step. The book of Romans describes that this comes when one is baptized, they're raised to walk in newness of life, of Romans 6 and verse 4. Here, when we're baptized into Christ, we're not baptized to join a denomination. We're not baptized to please some men. We're not baptized to somehow meet some requirements of a local church. There's only one baptism, and that baptism is when one understands that Jesus died for their sins, and they are willing and repentant to turn, and they're simply making a request to God for forgiveness. As Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Therefore, baptism is into the blood of Christ. It is into Christ. Reading Romans 6:4 in its entirety. It says, therefore, we are buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That was a pretty huge step for me to initially be baptized into Christ. The very act of believing what that verse taught caused me to leave the church in which I was raised. I didn't seek to do that. I simply sought to find what the Scriptures teach. And it's very interesting, as you begin that walk, baptism's the first step. Later on in Romans 6, it says, but God, verse 17, it says, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. God has a plan for every Christian. There is a form of doctrine. There is a system of belief that every Christian is to find. Now it's interesting. I'm starting yet another weight loss program. I've had a few times in my life where I've lost 50 pounds. To a couple of times, looks like I'm going for number three or close to that. We'll see how that works out. And, you know, I remember the first time I went on, lost some weight when I first started running, I used to carry what I called my fat picture. And I'd show people, here's what I was before I started running. You know, there's a before and there's an after. And so I'm kind of hoping there's going to be a good after here, that, you know, I may be successful, may not be. But when it comes to baptism, it's kind of like the before and after. When you're baptized, even though, yes, you've turned your heart to God and you're now a Christian, there's so much God's going to do with you. And that's a before. The Scriptures talk about really this process of once we start the process, it's like a potter dealing with clay. Isaiah 64:8 says this, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you our potter, and all we are the work of your hand. Could I tell you, that's pretty challenging when you say, Lord, here is my life. I pray that each of us are there. By the way, you keep making faith your own. Making faith your own is not something you do once in a lifetime. It's really a process. I continue to grow. I continue to learn. And could I say that sometimes some of our older, more experienced members need to be awakened. Sometimes there are events in life and you finally came to say, well, you know, I've just been marking time. I really haven't been growing. I've really become stagnant. So whether you're the new Christian or somebody who's been a Christian for many years, you may be those that the Hebrew writer talked about says that you need the first principles of God, that you have need of milk and not solid food. That's Hebrews 5, 12 through 14, where the Bible talks about there are those that have been Christians for many years and they're not making faith their own. Maybe they've taken the first steps, but they've gone no further. They're still in the before shot. And there's no further growth. Do you remember your baptism? I still remember the day I was baptized into Christ. I remember the gratitude that I had for the forgiveness of my sins. 2 Peter 1:9 talks about it. By the way, 2 Peter 1 is in the context of growth, how you add to your faith. But at the end of all of these additions, he says, but he who lacks these things is short-sighted, even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. I'm really encouraged by so many of you. The responses we've had recently, the tender hearts. I've been encouraged by what some of you have posted on Facebook and in personal blogs and so on. It's very exciting to see those say, I want to make faith my own. That kind of inspired this series, by the way. So let's talk, as we talk about a genuine faith, what does a genuine faith look like? First off, a genuine faith changes hearts. We've got to fight to keep our hearts open to God. Brethren, you know it's easy. It's so easy to play religion and play church. It's easy to sit in the service and not get involved. It's easy to do the outward moves. Jesus warned his disciples in John 15, don't do that. John 15 and verse 4, it says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. I could say with all sincerity, the stand of this congregation is very simple. We want to go back and follow carefully the words of the Lord. We want to go back and have a relationship with the Lord where we pray to Him and we're aware of His presence. We're not trying to seek to be another denomination. We're not trying to seek to exalt some man or group of men. We're not going to try to impress you with our building or with our dress or whatever else people might be impressed with. What the one thing we want to present to each of you is the Lord. We want everyone here to go to heaven. And you yourself have to learn how to grab a hold of His hand and hear Him and be molded by Him. And as we've already seen, good Christians have to fight the battle of sin. And that's what encourages me, as I've seen several of you stand when you've fallen. You know, faith is the opposite of faith, really, is going to be sin. And here, faith, we're trying to see God. We sang about God being holy, and here we're wanting to be holy, and we have that energy. Faith gives us energy to go against the grain, against the sea. I like how Ryan put it today. In 1 John 5 and verse 4, it says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. What we're fighting now that you become a Christian, there's going to be a battle for your affection, a battle for your mind, a battle for your relationships. You've just begun, and you can finish well. But you've got to make sure you keep making faith your own. You've taken a first step. One of the problems is sometimes Satan wants to destroy faith. If he couldn't keep faith from coming in your heart, the parable of the sower talks about how birds came in and takes the seed away from the soil that was hardened and how Satan removes the word. But even the seed that was planted, there were some seed that planted and didn't produce fruit. In Matthew 13:22, it says, "Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful." How do I keep my energy? How do I keep my motivation? You know, I will tell you again, becoming a Christian and making faith your own is not just about facts. It's not just straight discernment. Discernment is there. We'll talk about that a lot in the lesson. But first and foremost, it's a relationship with God where you know that He knows you. Sometimes people ask, well, how do you have assurance of salvation? I say, well, I know who my God is. My God never lies. My God has given me promises, and they're conditional promises, and I've met those. I haven't earned anything by that. I listen to His Word, but at the same time, I know God's character. God loves me. God gave His Son for me. He is doing everything He can to provide and protect me and bring me to Him. That, my brethren, has to be a motivating factor, and we've got to maintain that relationship. You get in trouble if the only time you pray is when you're in the assembly. You get in trouble if the only time you're studying is in this assembly. You get in trouble when you can get out here and you have no consciousness of God. When you go and do things and are with different people, as Ryan talked about today, as you're trying to go against the stream, you've got to have a relationship with God. Praying. Rejoicing. I tell you one thing that helps me. If I would say to our new Christians, if I'd say to every one of you, learn to rejoice and be thankful every day. I like some of you on Facebook that talk about what you're thankful for. I think that is a critical thing to do. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse 1, here Paul says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For to me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but to you it is safe." Chapter 4 and verse 4 of Philippians. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasseth all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You want to have a living faith? You got to get the junk out of your life. You got to get rid of the worry. You got to get rid of the bitterness. You got to be able to see every day the things the Lord has done for you. And I will tell you, when I go outside, one reason why I love to run outside and not be on a gym and a treadmill. And by the way, if I was on a gym and a treadmill, I'd be thankful too. But I like going outside because I can see the sun and the stars. I sometimes run at night and see the stars in the afternoon and see the sunset. You see nature and you say, "Thank you, God." I will tell you again, this is a simple point. If you will be thankful every day, this will do some marvelous things for your heart and your life. You may need to be taught better how to pray. Prayer should be instant. But you see, these things will give us a tender heart. And you ought to be thankful even when you're hurting. Prayer should be often and instant. Roman numeral 2. Our genuine faith comes from the truth. If I was to say to you, for as I look out over this audience, as you're trying to build your faith in God, there is so much that is out there today that can draw you down another path. You can make changes and you can say you're making faith your own, but you may not be making a biblical faith. The idea of truth is a very scary one for people today. They would rather you're okay, I'm okay, everybody's okay. If everybody's sincere, it's okay. But that is not what you find in Scripture. A passage you're very familiar with, many of you. Romans 12 and verse 1, talking about daily prayer, daily service. Notice this. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove What is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? I will tell you, truth has a certain quality to it. I may be talking later about churches and which church should I be a part of? Talk about beliefs, morality, well, what's right and what's wrong. Could I tell you something about truth? Truth can be examined and tested. Truth is reasonable and logical. As one writer says, truth is propositional, coherent, logical, rational, syllogistic, reasonable. Now, I'm telling you again, I understand. I'm not talking about just reason out here with a heart that's far from God. We're already talking about a heart that loves God, a heart that is tender to God. But let me tell you something about truth. You don't run from truth. And whatever changes you're making, you don't need to hide from what is true. And truth has certain characteristics that you can very clearly know of whether or not you're finding truth or finding something else. I will tell you, when it comes to maybe some of the differences in male and female, I know these are general differences. They're not always, that's not always the case. Depends on the training and upbringing. But many times we as guys, we like accomplishments, and we sometimes, you know, the reason and the debate aspect can something that appeals to us, and sometimes with the female side, there's the relationship side, and something maybe the guys are weak on, and I'm saying there are strengths and weaknesses in males and females, but sometimes there are those that would say, well, you know, it's just the relationship. I just want to get along with people. And can I tell you, as you go through Scripture, truth is more important than relationships, in the sense of Jesus talked about, he comes to drive a sword between families, that you need to make sure you are in the truth. Just because somebody's friendly to you doesn't mean they're following the truth. And this is where the immature Christian is very vulnerable when he hasn't learned yet how to discern. One of the things I enjoyed as a guy, I've been way too competitive in my life, and that's always been an aspect. Several years ago, I think I was given a T-shirt, and I was kind of embarrassed by it. But it was kind of like, if I can't win, I won't play. Now, that's not true. It's not true. I mean, I will lose sometimes and give, you know, weird looks to people and do that. But I am competitive. And I can remember in high school learning about chess and buying chess books and learning how to play. And, oh, yes, I'd love to play chess. Now, there'd be somebody who goes, you know, you want to play chess, and they don't know the moves. They go, no, thank you. You know, I understand why when it comes to reasoning and discernment and taking the Bible and reasoning from it, the new Christian may go, I don't know. I haven't even begun to study the Scriptures. And so I recognize there is a real challenge as a new Christian of being able to handle the Scriptures in a way to learn what is right and wrong, and it takes time. Ephesians 4:14, though, the Bible tells you you're vulnerable until you can get to the point where you can reason and stand and find truth. The Bible says that we should be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into all things into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Truth. I oftentimes say this to my students and others. You can know whether or not you're seeking truth. Truth will be open. Truth will be reasonable. Truth will not hide from investigation. Satan strongly seeks to avoid reason with an open heart and with an open Bible. I already talked about how when the seed went by the wayside, Luke 8:12, Satan wanted to seize it out of the way. Now, let me warn you a little bit. If you talk about change, do you know what sometimes happens in churches? Sometimes you can get what I call, a sale going, a secret sale study, where somebody may get in and what they begin to do is they begin to teach things and they'll tell you, don't you tell the elders. Don't you tell others. We're having this study, and oftentimes they will praise you. Oh, you're open-minded and we really want to see change, but they don't want others to know about the study. Now, brethren, could I say that I'm very open to people wanting to change us if it's from Scripture. I'm very open to say, hey, Larry, here's what the Scriptures teach, and we've been doing this. I'm very open to that, understand. But here's the thing I want to warn you. When you're getting with some people privately, whether it be in the local congregation or somewhere else, and they don't want you talking about what you're studying, could I get a big old red flag here and say, watch out, this may not be truth? Jesus in John 18:20 made this comment. The Pharisees, they plotted, they worked in the background to try to destroy Jesus. And it says, Jesus answered, this is at his trial. He says, Jesus answered and said, I spoke openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in temple where the Jews always meet. And in secret, I have said nothing. Let me warn you again. If you want truth, don't hide it. Don't think you're finding truth if somebody's getting you emotional in the background, giving you a lot of attention, and maybe you really enjoy those associations, but they're trying to tell you, shh, don't talk about what you're studying. That is not how truth is found. It's very interesting. Unfortunately, one of the hard things I had to learn, is one of the hardest things I've had to learn when I became a Christian, is churches that I was once a part of, people wouldn't be open about things. They wouldn't be honest about their beliefs. They tried to hide and they were fearful and they didn't like to open the Bible and study the Bible. That's shocking to me. When Jesus confronted the Pharisees on numerous occasions, look at how they handled truth. Luke 20 and verse 4. Here's a question. The baptism of John. By the way, sometimes we'll study baptism. What's baptism? What's it for? Many people don't want to study that. They don't want to open the Bible about that. Here the question. Jesus raised it to them. The baptism of John, was it from heaven or from men? That's a great thing. Let's shine the light on it. Let's be honest with it. Let's talk about where we're at. Let's talk about the evidence. But the Pharisees wouldn't do that. Verse 5. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, why then did you not believe him? But if we say from men, all the people will stone us, for they are persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered that they did not know where it was from. I hate to tell you, but in religion, there are those that seek the light, and there are those that are religious leaders, and they don't like the light. There are those within churches that don't like the light. You're not going to find the truth in darkness. 2 Peter 2:1, the Bible says, but there was also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them and bring on themselves swift destruction. Let me make the point one more time. Truth does not hide. And I want to tell you, you will never, ever, ever, ever regret taking an open stand as you're studying. I can remember when I first started studying, well, what's the price of baptism, purpose of baptism? It's shocking to me. I took notes. I went and talked with people. I talked to my roommate. My roommate thought I was crazy. I remember as I started studying other things, I wouldn't just let one person take me off to the side somewhere and tell me things. I would study and then find somebody who believed the opposite and go meet with them and talk with them. You see, truth can be found. And biblically, truth will make you boldly test all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 talks about prove all things. You know, I wished I could tell you that you read the name Church of Christ on the sign. I could tell you that's all you got to do. It's find the name Church of Christ on the sign and go in the church and it's fine. But I would be wrong if I told you that. Every church, when you're considering being a part of a church, whatever this church or any church, you need to discern and ask questions. Like I say, it was shocking to me that there were those that they really didn't want their doctrine tested. In John 12, 35, it says, Jesus said to them, a little while longer, the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. He who walks in darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke and departed and was hidden from them. So, brethren, I ask of you, truth light. Let that be your strength. And it may come a time, I pray that it would, I don't believe it should ever come a time where you and I should part in our fellowship. But if there came a time when we had a disagreement, it would be something we could openly look at and study and follow. Roman numeral 3. A genuine faith has got to fight bitterness and pride. You know, again, there are times that people make changes, but it may not be changes based upon the light. Some people make changes that are not of God. In Philippians 3 and verse 15, here is a chilling passage of people that Paul likely had baptized into Christ. He had worked with these men, but they made some changes. They were bad changes. He says, therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will even reveal this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree which we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Brethren, join in following my example. And note those who walk, for you have us for pattern. So he talks about people growing, learning, going further. But now notice verse 18. Here's the negative example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. I guess I've gotten to the age where I can look at track records of people that I've known. And I can remember some men that were, it was so exciting to be around. They were preachers of the gospel. They actually inspired me to do some things that have been great blessings in my life. So I don't speak of these things that these people just negative, look at me, look how bad they are. But they made changes in their life. I'll never forget a preacher back in the 80s. He used to preach in the Birmingham area. He started in his gospel meeting to say that he used to be a Pharisee and now he had changed. I've heard some other men in the last few years that I've known, I began to hear them preach a lesson that, you know, I was once a legalist and now I've changed. I can remember back in the 80s, an experienced preacher, when he saw that title, his eyes looked down and he did his head. He says, this is not going to end well. And it didn't. Our brother ended up rejecting the future resurrection of the dead, the second coming of Christ. He's gone down so many other paths doctrinally, and he became very bitter toward brethren. I will tell you, I've almost never, there may be one exception, when I hear men talk like that. They're not talking about like Paul. Paul, yes, he was once a real Pharisee, and he gave it up. But what you saw in his life was truth and openness. But what oftentimes I'm seeing when I see brethren talk like that, they begin to influence people privately and become very bitter. Please, if you make changes, don't let relationships be the factor. Don't change because of relationships and not because of tested truth. You know another path about truth does, and listen to me carefully. Truth will bring you closer to other Christians and not separate you. I love truth. I want to follow the truth. And I want to tell you something. If you love the truth and want to follow the truth, I want to tell you something. We can work together. We'll grow closer together. Are you saying, Larry, you can have perfect understanding? No, we grow in our understanding. Larry, do you say you have perfect knowledge? No, I don't have perfect knowledge. But I do learn and I can know. And the Bible says we can be one and we can work through whatever differences we have. But those who love the truth will love their brethren, not pull back from them. 1 Peter 1:22, notice this. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. You know what I've seen sometimes in the church? Somebody's had a private study. They've read something on the internet. They've read some of these books that people circulate. And next thing you know, they get angry. And they go, oh, I've been bad in my past. I've been bitter in my past. I've been judgmental in my past. And next thing you know, they cut all the brethren off and they jump to a place doctrinally. And they never say anything to anybody. That's not change for good. Legitimate change will be tested, and it doesn't cut brethren off. You don't live in the land of throwaway people. You don't look down on your brethren. 1 John 2:9. It says, He who is in the light and hates his brother is in darkness until now. He who loves his brother abides in the light, and there is no cause for stumbling in him. But he who hates his brother is in darkness and walks in darkness and does not know where he is going because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Many times people plant pride and bitterness. Pride and bitterness are common partners. Luke 18:9, it says, He spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Pride oftentimes is employed by brethren to artificially build people up and look down on others. Pride will cause people to turn away from God's word. Let me go one more time before we finish the lesson tonight. Isaiah 29, remember we talked about the clay and the potter? How really, we've got to maintain humility, we've got to maintain a desire for the truth, we've got to maintain a patience, but you can get people, get you kind of fired up, and you go, oh yes, my ignorant brethren, my legalistic brethren, and you can look down on brethren, you can reject your brethren without ever thinking. And you end up and can reject God. Listen to Isaiah 29, hear God speaking to a people that we're not listening to Him. He says, therefore, behold, I will again do a marvelous work among the people, a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. In other words, their wise men. And the understanding of their prudent man be hidden. In other words, they're not going to understand. Why can't they understand? Look at verse 15. Woe to those who seek deep to hide their counsel far from the Lord, and their works are in the dark. They say, who sees us and who knows us? Surely you have turned things around. Here God says, you're turning it backwards. You're trying to mold me instead of me molding you. Notice verse 16. Surely you have turned things around. Shall the potter be esteemed as the clay? For the thing that made said of him who made it, he did not make me? Or shall the thing formed of him who said who formed it, he has no understanding? Wow. Pride can take you down some path. And let me say one more time, pride will put you in the world of throwaway people. You'll throw away people who've never hurt you. You'll throw away people who have confidence in you. And you'll never ever reason or open Scripture. Let that not be you. Now let me get back to the positive side of a biblical faith and finish the lesson on this. Roman numeral 3. A genuine faith will grow out of pain and sacrifice. This is something, parents, I beseech you in the raising of your children. Don't mourn when your children have to pay a price for their faith. I don't try to make my children have hard times, but I am very thankful when my children sometimes are shaken because of their faith. I remember in Virginia when the track group decided to have a There were some athletes there decided to get together and have a study. They called it the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. It was organized by some within the cross-country and track group. By the way, I was considered a radical organization in Charlottesville. They wouldn't even let a group form in one of the high schools. But I can remember one night they asked Nathan why he didn't sing with an instrument when they sang with an instrument. He said, well, because he had convictions against it. They said, well, Nathan, why don't you lead singing next time? And we won't use the instrument. And Nathan got excited. And I'll never forget when he came home that night from that meeting, he was shaking a little bit. You know, the reason why he was shaking is that people couldn't sing very well without the instrument. There were some people that made fun of Nathan and laughed at him. And it shook him up. And he was going, well, I said, Nathan, I appreciate you, buddy. I appreciate your stand. I appreciate what you did. And by the way, I thought he gained respect from his peers. And I thank God at that time that here, Nathan, he took a stand. He was ridiculed by a few for it. Those are the kind of things that build faith. In Hebrews 11:32, the chapter on faith, it says, and what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and of David, of Samuel the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong. became valid in battle, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women receiving their dead raised to life again. Now notice this another phrase in verse 35. And others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they may obtain a better resurrection. Brethren, you're going to find that conflict builds faith. You know how to destroy faith? Take the easy way. Be the Esau. Esau sold his birthright because he was hungry, and the Bible says he despised his birthright. You're going to find the things that you don't stand for, you don't think very much of, and seeking to be a holy, follow a holy God, but I guarantee you, you're going to be different. By the way, could I ask of all of us, have you ever looked at your attendance patterns? I would just say, look at your life. How has your attendance changed? Have you gone to where you're more involved with brethren and being wealthy with brethren, or is it starting to pull back? How's your associations changed? Are you being with brethren? Are you involved in more Bible study, or are you pulling back? You see, a biblical faith, if you're zealous for it, you seek to build it. Romans 5:3, and then we'll bring the lesson to a close. The Bible says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given us. I can remember in my life, one of the hardest times in my life is when I was out of school. I was on my own. I remember I was preaching in Southeast Alabama, and I tell you what, I got isolated. I was with a little small group and struggling financially. And that was a time of great testing for me. Sometimes you'll go through times in your life when you do what is right, it just seems like your life's not going to go anywhere. Could I tell you, in those times of testing, draw closer to God. God will oftentimes make you face your worst fears. I can remember at that time I was thinking, well, I may never marry. And I finally came to the conclusion, well, I may not, and it's okay. God will be with me. Sometimes what you've got to go through is just say, you know what? I'm going to take this time. It's not exactly where I'd like to be right now, but I will be faithful. Jacob had to face Esau later, and it was in that time of trouble that God built his faith. It says, then Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham and God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you. I am not worthy of the least of the mercies of all the truth which you have sworn to your servant. For I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I've become two companies. Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him, lest he come and attack me, and the mother of with the children. And here Jacob had to pray to God. It was a difficult time. And I will tell you what, you can look back at those times and say, that's when my faith grew the most. God sometimes will burn things out of us. And when you have a genuine faith, let me tell you, you're never alone. There are brothers and sisters that want to share that pain with you. I like how the Hebrew writer put it, Hebrews 12:11. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. And make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be dislocated, but rather be healed. It's one of the things that I pray for each of you, the struggles each of us have. That not only are we building that faith in God, no, there are other brothers and sisters of like faith that want to help. And that will be there for you. Isaiah said in Isaiah 2 and verse 5, O house of Jacob, come and let us walk in the light of the Lord. For you have forsaken your people, the house of Jacob, because they are filled with eastern ways. They are soothsayers like the Philistines. Are they pleased with the children of fallers? Here's a case of where some people had fallen away. And he says, come back to the light. What does faith look like? Don't take a substitute. Don't take a shortcut. Build in such a way that it'll last for eternity. If you're not a Christian this evening, the invitation is extended, an invitation to be baptized into Christ, to begin, and we urge again for you as Christians. Let us again make sure we are building that kind of faith that is walking in the light, serving Him. Can we assist you in any way? Would you come as we stand and sing?